Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, and this is the word of God. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Amen. We pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of his own true word. Folks, I said before, thanks very much for the invitation to come and share with you in your service this morning. It's been a great delight. And there's always a joke goes around that you're invited to a church twice. First to preach and the second time to apologise. So hopefully, if I'm invited back, it's not to apologise, but it really is a delight to come and share with you this morning. As you leave out of the table, as you go right through the door, there's the up-to-date annual report of the Belfast City Mission. I'll give you a bit of a feel of what's going on, what has been happening in the last year. You'll see a rogues gallery there of all the missionaries, so you can certainly remember us in your prayers. Do remember the great city of Belfast. It is a delight to be here and to represent the work of the City Mission. In 1827, the Reverend Reuben Bryce formed the then Belfast Town Mission, which later then became Belfast City Mission. And he saw the great need of the working class people of Belfast Town as it was then, and at Belfast City it is today. And his great passion was to reach the inhabitants of Belfast with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the aim of the mission then, as it still is today, is to reach the churchless, the careless, and the poor with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously almost 200 years after the mission started, things have changed. But the aim is still to win those who are lost in Belfast for Jesus Christ. The objective of BCM is simple. It is to bring the good news of the gospel to people through the preaching of God's word, whether from the pulpit or in most cases on the pavement. And folks, we are not a church. We never claim to be a church, but we claim to be a mission on a mission. And we're reminded in God's word in Luke chapter 14 verse 21, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame." Folks, before pandemic struck us, and during pandemic and coming out, we pray soon of the pandemic. Gone are the days, folks, of us being here and saying to the church, "You come to us." We need to go to them. That's not my lack of faith. That's not my lack of faith in Almighty God. But the reality is, if we do not go to the people are not going to come to us. We must go out into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Yes, they're churchless, they're careless and the poor. Yes, there is, and you'll hear through my stories, there is some poor people. But that word poor means the poor in the things of the gospel, the poor in the things of God, the poor in the things of church. Up around our hall, as it's affectionately known, the heel and ankle, up the shankle. Third generation where they've never been to church unless it's a wedding, funeral, dedication. That's the reality. So we need to get out. We need to get out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very famous landmark in Belfast. If you want to meet anybody, you don't know Belfast that well, you say, "I'll meet you at Cornmarket." It's a centre point. A centre point for buskers, for singers, for entertainers, for many people. Come to that area to gather together, to meet together. A centre point. A meeting place. And when I think about the corn market, when I think of that, the centre point where we need to take people to, we need to take them to that centre cross. That centre cross at Calvary, where it makes all the difference. And if you're here today, or if you're listening online and you don't know Jesus, I pity you. If you're here today and you're listening online and you have a relationship with Jesus, you're sad. If you're here today, or if you're listening online and you're celebrating Christmas, I say respectfully, you've no right to celebrate Christmas if you're celebrating without Christ. Jesus isn't all about what many parts of the world want to call it, happy holidays. Rubbish. Nonsense. It's not a happy holiday. If you don't know Jesus, it's not happy. If you don't know Jesus, you're missing out. The center point of Jesus was the gospel. The center point of any church should be the gospel. The center point of the city mission is to share the Lord Jesus Christ with boys and girls, with young people, with families. And we strive to do that, folks. We have 16 different mission halls going from Rathcoole on the other side of Belfast, Dorrit of Belfast, and then as far as Ballybean Estate. There's one there. 17 different missionaries in all those halls. And the individual halls will have different ways and means of witnessing to people. They'll have their Sunday schools. They'll have their Sunday services. They'll have mothers and toddlers groups. They'll have kids and youth organisations. Men and women's meetings. Thursday meetings. Missionaries like myself will be involved in visiting hospital, nursing, residential homes. Taking weddings, taking funerals, taking dedications. I've got that many hats on. I've got a sore neck. But that's what we're called to do. And people will say to me many, many times, why do you bother, Paul? Why do you bother doing all those things? Because sure, you'll get nothing out of it. Folks, I get more out of it than you think. I get the opportunity to spread the word of God, to spread the gospel with people who would never generally hear it. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege to be involved in the work of the city mission. Can I ask you to pray for the mission? Like many denominations, like many churches, we are looking ourselves again to see how we can do things differently, to see how we can change things, how we can do things better, how we can do things that will reach a greater amount of people with the gospel. There will be changes. There will be changes that many of us may not like. But change it must be, because the world around us is changing. The gospel never will. I will never, ever be accused of tickling people's ears. If I offend people with the gospel, I'm doing my job. But we need to get out to people who are not hearing the gospel. And with that in mind, that's all the different halls there you can see. If you go into our website, the Belfast City Mission, you'll see all those different halls. And with that in mind, that's where we come in. And always, as I do, when I come to talk about the work, you'll always hear the work that we are involved in. Yes, the city missionary, in my opinion, maybe my bosses will be listening, but I don't care. Bit chauvinistic. It's only the man. It's only the man. He only does the work. I can tell you, you see, if Maria McCall went back to secular employment tomorrow, 70% of the work would disappear. Because I always say, Lorraine's the brains and the brawn, and I'm just the mouthpiece. And everybody that knows me knows I am a mouthpiece. But us ourselves, myself, Paul, my wife Lorraine, our eldest boy Cameron is 18. He's last year at Cambridge House Grammar School. And Caleb was with us this morning. He's year 9 at Cambridge House Grammar School. We commenced work with the City Mission in July 2015. And I always say, God has a wonderful sense of humour, putting a ballymena man in the middle of the shankle. I can't understand them and they can't understand me. People used to joke, he says, when I started talking to them, they say, don't worry, subtitles will appear on the screen below you. First meeting I met with someone, they said, what part of Scotland do you come from? Well, I went to County Antrim. They looked at me. But folks, that is where God has placed us, in Mayo Street. And anybody who doesn't know where Mayo Street is, right at the top of the Shankill Road, where the Shankill Road ends and the Woodville Road begins, right in the heartland of Protestant Ulster, where their great cry is for God in Ulster, we are the defenders of the Queen, we are defenders of the Crown, we are defenders of the faith. Haven't a clue. They haven't a clue. Because if they were defenders of the faith, if they were defenders of God, they'd be in their churches on a Sunday morning, not waking up with a hangover. And folks, what I say here today, Please be very clear. I'm not saying what happens in Belfast doesn't happen anywhere else. And I will share some stories with you. And that's not to say that what happens in Belfast doesn't happen anywhere else. And if I mention some stories that may be hurtful, it's not to hurt you or upset you, but it's to give you a flavour of what we as a family are facing. It's in no way to upset or to put a broad brush over anything that you as families may be going through. But folks, it's a dark area, it's a depressing area. Around the hall, there's 1,000 homes. So put that in perspective, we live in the village of Ahockle. 1,300 homes in Ahockle. There's 1,000 homes outside our doorstep. 90% of them, the only place they're going to is a lost eternity. Don't go to church. Don't say they need to go to church. They'll say to me, but sure, their words, sure, Paul, why would I need to go to work? I'm a good Protestant. Is there any such thing? Or, I'm all right, Paul. Or they'll say to me, their words again, sure, the big man will see me right in that day. And I joke, I says, the only big man I ever knew was Ian Paisley. And all due respect, he'll not get you into heaven either. It's only a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you need to remember. If you're listening here today and you don't know Christ, if you're listening online and you do not know Christ, the only way you'll ever be in heaven, the only way you'll ever be happy, is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come into the world to fill a few pages of scripture with a nice few stories that we could bring out at Christmas and at Easter, so to make ourselves feel good, sing a few carols and, hey, we're on our way to heaven. Unless you, that we were singing, at his feet we humbly bow, crown him Lord, Lord of all. Folks, what do we do in Mayo Street? Praise God, we have a Sunday school on a Sunday afternoon. We would have over 30 kids on the roll on Sunday school. Praise God, last Sunday afternoon we had our Christmas carol service. We had almost 30 kids there and their parents. We had about 90 in the hall. And if, maybe that doesn't sound a big deal, but up there in the Shankill is a big deal. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to share with those children the good news of Jesus Christ. Many of those children coming is the only influence, Christian influence they will get, the only opportunity they will get to hear the gospel, the only opportunity they will hear about the Bible and about a God that loves them. Many of those children, folks, are coming from broken homes. They'll be with mummy during the week and daddy at the weekend, or vice versa. Many of them will come with very little academic ability, and we've noticed that even more so with the lockdown. Just the simple things that they cannot do, simple letters, simple words they can't read. So we've that barrier to face. But yet there's a down there in the bottom left hand corner, there's fun, there's little Dre. What for? Dre leads the local, I'm allowed to say it, kick the Pope band up the Shankill. I was driving down the street one day and there's Dre, four, coming down leading. He was doing the bass drum and two wee boys coming down flitting behind him. But folks, that's the kids that we're playing with and we're working with and we're enjoying. Just to see him sitting on the table, they were building a tower. I think Ray was maybe talking about the Tower of Babel that day. And just to see the fun and excitement, just to spend time with those children. Folks, anybody that knows us, we have a great heart for those children. To say that I've shed tears for those children is no exaggeration. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart that those kids are walking up and down the streets lost. No future. No real commitment to anything. And their parents push them out in the street. But yet God has called us to be with them. Pray for the Sunday school. Lorraine and I teach a class. Brian Higginson teaches a class as well. There's a girl, Lindsay, helps us. And there's also a girl, Julie, helps us. Julie's not saved. And Julie sits and she listens to those stories like a child. And when it comes to a quiz, she's the first one sticking the hand up. And you have to tell her, Julie, the quiz is for the kids. But she's just a kid. There's the Sunday school. When we came to the hall, the Sunday school was the only thing for children. So Lorraine decided to start a Mums and Young Ones. And everybody says, oh, you're very sexist up there, Paul, aren't you just calling it Mums and Young Ones? Dads can come too. and grannies and grandas and cares. But the reason we called it mums and young ones, look at the start of each letter, each word, smells male. So that's why we called it mums and young ones. And it's just wonderful. That was one of the last opportunities I think we had to meet with them at Christmas, and then the pandemic kicked in. Just wonderful. We would have nearly maybe over 20 mum or children coming in with their mums, their grannies, the cares, and just get an opportunity to sit alongside them, talk to them, cup of tea and coffee, toast for the kids, and just get an opportunity to speak to them. Some of those children have come through the whole life with the joy of hearing their dedications, and it's a breeding ground for the Sunday school. And folks, we have to get the children now, because if we don't get the children now, the world will. If we don't teach them, the world will teach them something they don't need to know. Pray for the mums and young ones. We were hoping, pandemic-wise, maybe to get it started again in January, but Omicron has probably given other ideas, so that may not happen. But pray for those children. Pray for their families. Maria gets the opportunity to speak with some of the mothers, where they can talk to Lorraine about things that they just wouldn't feel comfortable talking to a man about. It's all about building relationships, folks. The relational gospel, showing a people that we care. People don't care what I know, and that's not much, but they want to know that I care. That's what it's all about, the mums and young ones. Then we have a kids club on a Wednesday night. That's for primary school age. We meet P1s to P3s and then P4s to P7. On a Wednesday night. The pandemic has sort of affected our numbers. The younger age group, the numbers are back up again. The older age group has been affected because churches have changed when BBs and GBs and Beavers are all on. So they have went to those. But as long as they're going somewhere and hearing the word of God, we're quite happy. But it's a wonderful opportunity just to spend time with those children again, coming from difficult backgrounds, coming from tragic backgrounds. One night we were sitting with the children, and there was a young girl at the back. She's usually life and soul of the party, very quiet. And I went down to speak to her. I says, "Are you okay?" "Yes, I'm fine." "What's wrong?" "I don't want to talk about it." And Lorraine went down to her. I said, "Lorraine, down, speak to her." And we went down together, and we said, "What's wrong with you?" "Oh, it's not important." And she says, "I says it is important. You tell us." She says, "I'm sad because who could love me?" An eight-year-old sitting at the back of there, her heartbreak and tears running down her cheeks, saying that no one loved her. Coming from a broken home. Coming from a home that gave her the idea that she wasn't loved anymore. But praise God, we were able to sit down beside that little girl and tell her about someone who did love her. About a Jesus that loved her so much. About a God that had a wonderful plan for her life. It's wonderful to work with those children. We bring in visitors sometimes, from time to time, and there's one night we brought them all together, and there was almost 60 running around our hall, and I thought, never again. I was getting even grayer as every minute went on. But it's just wonderful, folks, to spend time with them. We play games, we do arts and crafts, we bring visitors in. We'll have a tuck shop for them, but always settle to that on that night. We always share God's word with them. They always go out spiritually fed, as well as going out with all the e-numbers that they can get in the tuck shop. And it's great when I can feed other people's wains, and the parents are straight on the office seeing about 9:30 at night, trying to get them down from the e-numbers. Folks, do pray that the children's work in our hall is a big majority of our work. It's a foot into homes. It's a foot into circumstances. From that, we have got dedications. We've got, I've got to do weddings. I've got, sadly, to do funerals, but we have got a foot into their homes, a foot with the gospel. And all it takes is for one person to hear the gospel one time for them to be saved. So we pray, we ask you to pray for the work of the children. We usually would have a summer kids club, but the last two summers that's been affected with the pandemic. What we usually would have done, Woodvale Park is just up around the corner from us. And we would have got the bandstand there, and we would have took them in there. We would have games with them, played with them, shared God's word with them. And then in the evening, we would have brought them down to our hall and had a holiday Bible club where we had choruses, memory verses, Bible story quiz. We would have made crafts with them because we used to do activity sheets. But but because of their academic ability, we thought it was better for them to go home with a craft with a Bible verse on it, so that they could take it home and share that with their families. Wonderful opportunity just to sit and spend time with those children and sharing God's word with them. And this year we've done something different because we couldn't do the summer kids club. We called it the Mayo Street Monday mix up. You need your teeth well better than to say that. The Mayo Street Monday mix up. The Belfast City Council were giving out grants. So being a Ballymena man, I was in there for it. And they gave us a very generous grant. So we've done different things on Monday nights. Two Monday nights in June, July and August. Because we were missing the families and missing the children, we thought we need to reconnect with them. So you'll see up there on the top, we brought a waffle cart up to the side of Mayo Street. Oh boy, was that popular. If that boy hadn't ran out, he'd still been sitting here today. It was just wonderful. With the kids and parents, there was over 100 turned up. But just to see little groups of children sitting on the pavement, chocolate coming down around their chins, just with the waffles, just enjoying having fun together. Then one night, my cousin, Derek Livingstone, works with Ambassadors football, so we brought them up one Monday night up to the Woodville Mugger pitch, and we done games with them and shared God's word with them as well. Down there in the middle, we brought a kids farm up into Belfast. I don't think Belfast people had seen many animals before, not exactly on Mayo Street anyway. So just again, to interact with the families, again, tea and coffee for them and biscuits. We took them, then we brought up Gorbadex, the gaming bus, again onto the side of the street where they would be fun together. And then we had a family service. This all led up to having a family service. We invited the families and the children to come again with the outreach and with the impetus to share God's word with these children. We have our normal prayer meeting on Thursday night with our Sunday service. Pray for the Sunday service, folks. It's our desire. Yes, we work with the children. We work with them in many different things, but we want to see their families come with them. Mums and dads to sit alongside them on a Sunday. Mums and dads to come and hear the word of God, not to think that they're doing their moral duty. Or as one man says to me, because he's four children, he says, sure, I'm doing my bit. He says, I'm saying to my disciples, calling his children his disciples. Pray for the Sunday service that they'll come. Pray for a service tonight. We're having Carlsby Candlelight. We've invited the families and all to come. We look forward to them coming for that. We get the opportunity to go into the local primary schools. Those there, Forth River, Springfield and Edenbrook, have a strong Christian ethos, Christian principles in the school. And it's just a great opportunity before the pandemic to get into those schools to share the gospel as well. Hospital visits as well. But you'll see that's just outside our street. The main work of the city mission is done on the street. As I said, 1,000 homes, I think maybe 3 or 4 times, but 2 or 3 times a year, each home is visited with an invitation to the hall, an invitation to simple things. But the sad thing is, folks, to excuse the pun, not a sinner comes in. You'll do 1,000 homes. You've maybe got 1 or 2 from the district. Folks, it's demoralising. It's depressing. And I'm only human when I realise that there's many people behind those doors are broken. They're lost. They're sad. They're lonely. And I'm offering them the solution to all those problems in Jesus Christ. And they say to me, like they said that first Christmas of old, no room. No time. And even sadler, no need. Heartbreaking stories behind that. And as I said before, if I share stories that are coming close to home, it's not to upset, it's just to give you an idea of what we are facing. One of the days we were having our kids club, our summer kids club, I drove down the road, there's commotion down the street. And I thought, oh, what's going on there? Now somebody's fell out with somebody and they're having a bit of a ding-dong. And I went down just as a brother was running out the door shouting, he's done it. He's actually went and done it. And folks, I walked up the stairs to see them pulling a young man down and taking his life. 27-year-old. And he lost eternity. Sad that he left children, a partner. And that broke my heart, yes, but what broke my heart even more was that I didn't know where he will spend eternity. I had to carry that funeral service. And I couldn't give the family any hope where he was. And that broke my heart even more, but it was able to give them hope where they could be. Another man up the street, on that side of the street, where you see the picture there. We were locking up the hall one night. And he come down and says, "Paul, can you help me?" I says, "As long as it's not DIY, I'll give it a go." He says, "Paul, somebody stuck glue in my lock. And I can't get into my house." So I asked, "Anybody, do anybody have a cigarette lighter?" I always joke because I left mine at home. I says, so I was trying to worm the key to get into the lock, couldn't get in. And I said, "Listen, I'll go and get my ladder." So I had to go and get the ladder in below the hall. And I had to knock the next door neighbour's house. I says, "Can I come through your house with a ladder?" Well, the sweat was lashing off me because I seen all these ornaments and I thought, the street, the house of the Belfast go like that. And there's very little turn. And I got out the back, put the ladder up against the wall to empty his back garden, lifted my leg, one leg over, got the other leg over because there was barbed wire there and I didn't want to do myself any injury. And just as I get the other leg over, ready to go in, he says, "Oh, Paul, I forgot to tell you, the gate's open." Well, if that's not a test for your Christianity, can I reach for him? I could have gubbed him. But folks, I went into that house. Nothing. The bare essentials. The bare necessities of life, as he sang in the Jungle Book. The story was, his mother and father died, left the estate, the sister took it all, left him with nothing. And I was a bit like Lloyd Grossman, for those people who know that there, through the keyhole. I was looking around the house to give an idea of what was going on. He had nothing. Nothing in the fridge. Nothing in the cupboards. Probably think I'm a nosy. But that's what we're called to be. Not nosy, called to see what's going on. And I said, "Listen, I'll try and get you some help. If there's any help you need, let me know." And he said, "That's no problem, Paul. I've an appointment to go to you tomorrow. Would you take me there?" I said, "No problem. I'll come up and get you." Rapped the door that morning. He pulls out the blinds. He'd still lying in his pit. Had woken up. And I says, "Where am I taking you to?" I thought, hospital appointment. "Could you take me down to Lagonside Courthouse?" He says, "I had a disagreement with the PSNI. And I'm up in front of the judge this morning." Folks, we're called to do many a thing. But one thing we're called not to do is to judge those people. "Here but for the grace of God go I." And folks, we're guilty of it. We're guilty in our churches, and we're guilty in our little neighbourhoods, and we're guilty in our little homes of saying, like that man in the Bible of old, "I'm glad I'm not like him." Folks, it's only for the grace of God that we're not. Cut us, long story short, try to keep in contact with him. Someone give us a gift at Christmas. They give him, and we got a food hamper together. Couldn't get the hold of him. And then after Christmas, I tried again, and I went up to the letting agent who was in charge of the house. This man was 41 years of age, to be told that man had been found dead in his home over Christmas. 41-year-old. Left with nothing. Left with nothing of the world. But sadly again, I didn't know whether he knew Christ or not. And folks, I look out to you today as you listen online. I don't know who you are. I don't know where your heart is with God. But if my heart is breaking for you this morning, you don't know Christ, can you just for one minute be quiet and think, what does God not feel about you today? There's a chorus that goes, "God, your weight in your heart is breaking." God's heart is breaking for you. And he wants to come in to your hurt, to your difficulty, to your troubles, to your sin. And he wants to say to you, "I'm Jesus. I came to deal with your problems. I came as a baby to be as a saviour." But folks, let's remember, the next time Jesus comes, he's not coming as saviour, he's coming as judge. I asked you this morning, like I didn't get the opportunity to ask that man, found dead, and from that young fellow who took his life, I didn't get the opportunity to ask them, "What did you do with the man, Christ Jesus?" I asked you this morning, what does Jesus mean to you? Is he a Savior, the Savior, or is he your Savior? You see, folks, John MacArthur says this, with this I finish. John MacArthur said this, quote, Satan is busy making sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, and the gospel less urgent. Satan is busy. And he's busy making sin less offensive. What are children taught? Children are taught up in Belfast and in many homes. It's not sin. It's just a wee white lie. They're told, everybody get to heaven. Just want to say, I met a man in the doors as well. I could tell you stories that would sit you here for all day, but I'm conscious of time, I have to finish soon. He believed in heaven. He believed in Jesus. He believed in God, went to Sunday school. But Paul, there's no hell. He and his Protestant form of purgatory. When I die, God's going to send me to a wee room. This is his words, not mine. I'm not exaggerating. He's going to send me to a wee room. And he's then going to decide where I go to. Well, I said, did you go to Sunday school? Yes. Did you ever hear of the story of rich man and Lazarus? No. I says, well, the rich man was in hell. And he said to Lazarus, go and tell my brothers that this place exists. Folks, if you're sitting here today, like many people said to me in Belfast, these are the words again. I can't wait to get to hell because it's going to be one big party. I couldn't believe my ears. Couldn't believe my ears that someone thought the hell was worth going to. I can tell you folks, you think of the greatest hurt you've ever experienced, the greatest pain you've ever experienced, and that will not even come close. Eternal damnation, eternal separation, eternal pain. Eternal torment. And folks, as an evangelist for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not my will that any one of you, if you're listening here in this building or listening online, that you would go to a lost eternity. Folks, hell is not full of people that God sent to hell. Hell is full because people refuse to listen to God. Is that you? Are you like that verse that I read? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Are you harassed? Are you helpless? Are you hopeless? Are you homeless? Praise God, I'm not homeless. On this earth, I'm not homeless. But praise God, I can tell you as I stand here today, I'm a millionaire because I have a mansion awaiting. Is that you? Do you know Jesus? I don't mean up here. Do you know Jesus in your heart? Have you a relationship with him? Do you love him? Do you follow him? Do you obey him? Is he the first thing on your mind, the last thing on your mind? Does he direct your life? Because without Jesus, you're going to lost eternity. Without Jesus, you're a dead man, dead woman, dead young person walking. Folks, thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. If you're ever in the area, call in and we'll get the kettle on. We'll get a biscuit for you if I'm not blue bowled at me now. But we'll try and get you a biscuit. We have our website there, mailstreetbcm.com. You get a greater feel of what goes on and you'll find us on Facebook. But do remember some prayer. Do remember the annual report that you'll take that with you. And do remember some prayer. And I will leave this quote again with you as we end our service. Satan is busy making sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, and the gospel less urgent. Folks, we have a mission field on our doorsteps. We must get out. We must go out and reach and preach and lead them to Jesus before the world comes to an end. Amen.